Every day's a brand new morning since the morning you moved in. Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Yes, I'm feeling like a million since I got you.
Well, we're back on WPTF. It's 9:09. Welcome back to hour two of the Weekend Gardener here on WPTF. Mike Rayleigh here along with Rufus Edmonston, who you probably couldn't hear singing with Johnny Cash, but he was singing.
I was in absentia.
Absolutely.
Now, that's one of those $50 lawyer words.
That's right.
That we'll charge you $50 for using that in a legal brief.
Yeah.
But I sang with Johnny.
Of course you did. Let's see. Who else is with us here? Looking across the computer, it looks like Nelsa Cox.
Oh, my.
I'm here.
That nice person, Nelsa, who's generous and kind. And
present.
And I can't see Andrea, but I just saw part of her garden, and you came up with the type. It's a native type hydrangea. Mm-hmm. It kind of looks like Queen Anne's lace. What is it called?
It's Hydrangea arborescendens. That's one of the natives. That's what it looks like, the photo or the little video that Andrea sent you. Can you confirm that?
What say you, Andrea? Do we still have Andrea?
Ruh-roh.
Oh.
I don't know.
I thought a little bit like a lace leaf, Nelsa, maybe.
Well, I mean, the foliage isn't lacy and the flowers aren't lacy. It doesn't have both flowers. I believe that there is a native lace cap, but that particular one.
Yeah. Tell us again what type of, because we're back with Andrea.
I believe it's a hydrangea arborescens.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
similar
right.
names that Nelsa offered.
Yeah.
More of the experts than I am. So, but anyway, they grow wild here.
That's so cool. It really does look cool there, that little video.
Love the creek. I have not watered them because they're wild and they haven't looked like they needed water. They grow along the creek, which is very shady.
Yeah.
It looks like you have a nice background there with some sort of water treatment there, Andrea?
Yes, there's a narrow creek.
And is there water? I mean, is there water flowing?
Is
there water flowing? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because we live on a mountain, so it is quite...
Okay, it hadn't dried up. Good.
So it's always flowing.
Does that have a... That mountain have a name?
It does. I can't reveal it, though.
Oh, okay. Well, that's true. We don't want to get anybody to hone in too much here.
Privacy here.
That's right. Well,
I bet one of the reasons you picked the place you did...
That's the reporter in me.
Because the creek was there. I wouldn't have a place that didn't have running water on it, but I got one.
Well, you got, don't you have some down there in that bog?
Well, that's when it rains.
It used to be a pond.
It used to be a pond.
40, so there's got to be 40, a water source ago. There.
It's dried up.
It's been diverted.
It's taken over by various animals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We have.
And maybe some people who have attended a party
I've heard some. Blood-curdling screams out of that bog down there.
Former enemies of Rufus Edmonston.
Ghosts of the past.
Are now trying to get their way out of there.
We have the good fortune of having two springs on our farm.
Oh, boy.
Very nice. Are they warm springs?
Well, they probably are today.
Yeah.
They probably are in the summer.
Well, we get our drinking water from a spring farther up the mountain. And in the wintertime, boy, that water is cold coming out of the tap.
Wow.
Monday is Sweet Melissa's birthday, so I'll say happy birthday to
Happy birthday to Melissa. Sweet Melissa.
Yeah. Happy birthday
to you.
Yeah. Let's get, wait a minute. Let's get on. Let's
wait for the Lorelei's. Can you got the Lorelei's? Find those. I think we need some help.
Jason, here. He didn't like our singing.
We're all starting in different keys.
Yeah.
Spontaneous.
You don't have it? Well, let's just do it anyway.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Melissa. Happy birthday to you.
That was anymore. that digital delay really was interesting there, Andrea.
Yeah,
you were late on the uptake.
There you go.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. It was nice.
I liked
it. Quaint.
It was great.
Yeah, it was good. It kind of added some zest to it.
Perfect timing. Yeah,
Monica, the great Monica Wood of State Farmers Market fame, who's the manager out there, is with us. Hey, Monica.
Good morning.
It ain't hot where you are, is it?
Actually, it's a little bit overcast, and underneath the farmer's shed, we've got those big fans going and everything.
Yeah.
And it's not too bad. I mean, I'm not going to say it's a cool front or anything, but it's pretty pleasant this morning.
I'm glad for all those farmers. And Rufus, you were talking about our good friend, former Congressman Etheridge, who was Farm Services Director of the state of North Carolina, talking about drought. Of course, we had him on down in Harnett County, but he, corn, the corn
crop. He was in
the
cornfield, in fact, this
is
morning.
In terrible shape down east.
Yeah, and they were chucked up in a piece of corn, and the kernels were so small, they looked like that baby corn we used to always love to get in the very beginning, but this was supposed to be a mature corn.
Yeah.
Right.
And the farmer was just very distraught.
Yeah.
And I can see why.
Yeah.
Quite an investment. But how are the farmers doing there at the farmer's market?
They're doing good. Everybody's busy, and I've been out and about all morning getting everybody settled, and everyone's been unloading lots of fresh fruits and vegetables. Definitely looking like summertime around here. That's for sure.
Yes, ma'am. Peaches. Now, we've got some Freestones now.
I was out there Monday, and I picked up some peaches and some cantaloupe. Peaches were fabulous.
I've had some really good cantaloupe this year, too, and watermelon from the farmer's market.
And we have the famous Windblow peach. We have some of those coming in right now, and there's a pretty short window for those.
Yeah.
So be sure to come on out and get those if that's your favorite kind. And I saw some white peaches this morning as I was walking through, and just a great selection right now. Those Sand Hill peaches are pretty tasty, and we have a few peaches also that come in from one of our North Carolina mountain peach orchards. So lots of peaches, lots of blueberries, blackberries, watermelons, every variety and type of watermelon you can think of. I know we have some yellow ones, and I think they've started bringing in even some of the orange ones. So just a great selection of watermelons right now. We have the little, the small little personal size ones. And as you mentioned, cantaloupe galore, lots and lots of those. And peas and butter beans already shelled.
I know. Is it early for peas? Is it early for the peas?
They're just really getting started.
Yeah.
They're just getting started. And, seems like we sort of had an early everything. Peaches started early, strawberries started early.
Right.
And mentioning strawberries, I saw just a few strawberries actually down with one of our vendors. So
wow.
A few strawberries still hanging in there to go along with all the other wonderful fruits that are coming in right now. Corn is another hot commodity right now. Lots and lots of sweet corn coming in. If you want just a few ears, or maybe you want a few dozen to be able to go ahead and get some in the freezer so you can enjoy it all winter long. Right now is the time to do that while it's in peak season. You can buy it by the big bag or, like I say, just the ear or two, whatever you might need. squash, every kind of squash you can possibly imagine. We've got zucchini. We have the little patty pan squash, just a regular straight neck yellow squash, zucchini, and, you know, so many other varieties. Peppers, we're starting to see all those different varieties of peppers coming in, from the sweetest to the hottest, all different colors. So if you'd like maybe pickling peppers or just cooking with peppers, you can get all those different kinds, as well as eggplants. That's something else that we're seeing so many different varieties coming in right now of those. And something else that's really becoming a popular item are microgreens, and we have our vendors out with those today also. And as you're walking through the farmer's building, there's just so much wonderful product all throughout. You know, we have our beekeepers with honey. We have local honey here. We have the fresh salsa. We have the beautiful cut flowers. I was just down admiring those a few minutes ago as I was walking through. Sunflowers, gladiolas, and just so many other beautiful cut flowers right now. And they have the bouquets already made. Or if you have a special request with certain colors, they can put those together for you as well. And, of course, we still have lots of plants and flowers here. Got a lot of perennials in bloom right now. I noticed some really pretty cone flowers as I was walking through with that are in bloom, as well as some of the limelight hydrangeas. We still have a lot of other shrubbery fruit trees, hanging baskets, and just a large variety of plants and flowers that you can still get if you're looking to maybe replace a plant or, you know, add some color somewhere. You can definitely find a large selection here now of those as well.
Monica, before you leave the market there, I want to tell you, last weekend I stopped in Wilkes County, in Wilkesboro, to see an old friend of mine named Carl White, who's doing a documentary on me, believe it or not, and he gave me some peaches from Wilkes County. They were as flat as a pancake. I said, I've never seen this, Carl.
Did you figure out how to eat them?
Well, it's like picking up a sandwich, and I said, I've never seen this before. He said, well, you won't see it much commercially because they don't keep well.
Yeah.
But it had a wonderful, wonderful taste, and I'd never heard of that.
Can you put mayonnaise and put them between bread?
You almost could.
Donut peaches. Yes, donut peaches. We have some occasionally. Some of our folks have some of those, and every once in a while you'll see some of those out here. In years past, they'll usually have them. Again, one of those little kind of a short window, but very unique, something different. It's always fun to try different things.
I love going out to the farmer's market year-round, but this time of year, the fragrance from the farmer's area, particularly of all those vegetables, it reminds me of you know, when I was a child walking through tomato fields and you know, all of that. It's such a wonderful fragrance, all of it.
Yeah, just the birds chirping, and it's just a fun place to be.
It is.
Are the mushroom people out there this weekend?
They are.
Oh, goody.
Mushrooms, a variety of those. I'm scooting through. I saw a sign they had some of their oyster mushrooms today.
You looking for some hallucinogenic ones?
No.
I don't think they sell those.
Yeah.
I sent a newly minted North Carolinian out to the farmer's market the other day for some just fun. And she called me up and said, have you ever seen those fans on the top? What they say? I said, those are big fans. Those are big fans.
They're definitely that. And
she was amazed about
very
that.
Very apt.
Yeah.
They are big fans, and that's their name. That's the brand. So we get a few inquiries about that from time to time, but that's the name they go by.
No, nobody fusses about that, do they?
We've had a few inquiries, I guess you could just say, about it.
Well, somebody's got a gripe about something.
True that.
Yeah. Yeah,
it is. But I tell you what, they do the job. They keep the air moving through there, and and so when you're walking around, it's especially days, you know, like we've been having recently, it definitely helps you feel a little cooler while you're out shopping. So
well, I was out Monday morning, and it definitely was cooler down in the farm shed, farm markets, than it was up in the market shops. I don't know if it's because of the bakery, because, you know, when I go there, I have to pick up sourdough as well. But
oh, yeah.
But it was nice down there.
Yeah, it has been, and the open air experience is, you know, some place to come out and shop for sure. And I was talking about all the other vegetables. I don't even think I mentioned the tomatoes, but oh my gracious, there's so many different varieties of tomatoes here now.
And these are field tomatoes.
We are, so yes, we're starting to see some field tomatoes, definitely, and heirloom, all kinds of heirloom varieties, your Roma tomatoes, little cherry and salad tomatoes, all different varieties, and they're delicious. I had one of the, I think it was one of the Cherokee purples this week, and had a little slice of one of those somebody had up in the office, and it was absolutely delicious. So come out and get those, and now's a good time to do canning tomatoes as well. So good time if you want to do some canning and freezing. 4th of July has always been a traditional time. I know a lot of people like to do that with their families. So you can definitely come out all week long and be able to find what you need. And I will mention, speaking of 4th of July, that we are open regular hours all weekend and right on through the week. And even on July 4th, we will be open. So you can come out and shop as you normally would. Our restaurants are open as normal, seafood restaurants, State Farmers Market restaurant. So great place to come out and bring the family and spend some good quality time and maybe get some things home and go home and suck some corn and get some things in the freezer for winter. And I want to mention that today we have our crawfish day going on, something we haven't done in a few years. And we have a crawfish grower that's here from NLN Farms. And Fred Catering Company, and they're having a crawfish bowl. Wow. And it's up beside our seafood, between the seafood restaurant and the crash pad area, the yellow and white tent. You'll look for that. They're starting at 10 a.m. They have live crawfish for sale, and you can also buy the boiled crawfish, also buy the plate. And come on out and get those. They usually have a big crowd, so we're hoping that they have a – we hope they sell out today.
Yeah, they used to sell out very early. I know Bernice Osmond and Charlie Edwards used to talk about people lining up so early in the morning to get those things.
Definitely. And so far this morning, we haven't had a line yet, but I think kind of bringing it back and, you know, getting people used to knowing that we're having it again is, you know, is key. And mm-hmm. We're looking forward to seeing them. I'm so glad to have it back again because those guys work hard to get those crawfish raised and to the market. So be sure to come by and support them again, starting at 10 a.m. there under the yellow and white tent. And got folks everywhere today. Out in the front parking lot, we have North Bay Oysters, where you can buy fresh oysters that are actually down from near Topsail Island. And they're coming in with those now. He's trying to be here every weekend. And if you are out in the front parking lot, kind of near the plant end, you'll see him out here on one of the little islands under the tree with the fresh oysters. And he just started last weekend. So if you're out, stop by and check him out.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, so many other wonderful things if you walk up to our market shops. The cakes, pies, fresh squeezed orangeades and lemonades, ice cream, meat, cheeses. If you're looking to grill out for the 4th, you can definitely come and get all the meats you need or fresh seafood. And I think you'll have everything you need to maybe have those cookouts. And you know, that's what it's all about, being able to come out as a family, shop together, go home and cook and enjoy the 4th together. So we hope that everybody comes out and supports all of our local vendors.
Well, I can't imagine why you wouldn't. It's just, you know, I was thinking about the 4th. Are the fireworks at on the Dix property this year?
They are.
Yeah, okay.
They are.
You know, it probably wouldn't work for y'all to stay open, to have a special night, you know, to stay open later, and maybe they could tie that in to the fireworks.
Yeah. We've played around with it a little bit.
I don't know if logistically it would work, but
yeah, we have, and it's kind of amazing. They're right next door, but because of the way the landscape is, it's hard to see them actually from here because we played around with doing some different things around it.
So, well, maybe you ought to have your own. I imagine the commissioner would give you some. The commissioner would give you some fireworks put out there. Y'all got a big area.
Yeah.
Maybe y'all should have some competition.
We'll have have a fireworks war. But no, I guess you could say come over and stop.
That sounds like a good Johnston County girl there.
There you go. But no, we don't plan to do our own here. But you can definitely come out and enjoy all of our wonderful vendors that are here, and then maybe head over to Dick's Park to watch the fireworks afterwards.
Absolutely. I'm sure they'll have other activities, and you can tie it all in, make a day of it.
Definitely, right here in the same area. And you know, they have some parks over there for kids, and they have the dog parks and all kinds of great stuff over on Dick's campus. And so I think it's a wonderful place to come and be able to enjoy all the great things right here in our area. Great community to be in.
Well, if the commissioner would just put up that hobby horse and you know, carousel and you know, a few other things like that.
They're
kind of a permanent thing, like Pullen Park. And,
yeah.
Maybe a little train. He could be, the commissioner could be
caboose.
The train engineer.
There you go. Yeah. I guess you never know what the future holds, I guess.
That's right. I mean, there are all kinds of, I can't imagine how many possibilities there are for that area and the farmer's market and what y'all have been talking about. A lot of surprises probably coming in the next decade or so.
Yeah, one time I know they was talking of a distillery there.
Well, we're working on our own distillery here. Monica, hold on a second. We got to do some news. We'll be right back.
Sounds great.
You've probably heard that song. North Carolinians, most North Carolinians would know that they came from this area, just down the road, Kinley, most of them. Donnie Weaver, who was singing lead there, is from Rocky Mount. But they, and Donnie actually was a school teacher before they became famous. He was he taught at Cooper's High School.
Cooper.
Yeah, down in Nash County, not far from where Irv Evans is from. Irv may have gone to school there. I don't know. So it's between Wilson and Nashville, at any rate. But, they had that big hit. It was huge. It was it reached near the top of the charts.
Oh, absolutely.
All across the country.
What was the name of the group?
The Occasions.
The Occasions.
I think they were the K's Combo at first. I think they had two or three different names, but the Occasions. But,
A lot of folks are famous from Nash County, like Mike Raley. And
I'm not famous. There's Phil and Ford.
Your little book you carry.
Oh, yes.
Cliff Joyner.
Cliff
Joyner's the most famous. Well, we're trying to make him that way.
Well, while we're at it, let's see what Cliff said today. He said, we can overcome evil with greater good. He didn't say that. Laura Bush really said that.
Uh-huh.
But that's pretty good.
That's very, very good, yeah.
So thank you, Cliff.
Yeah. Cliff compiled all of this.
he produced the book with these little witticisms and words of wisdom.
Seems like a long time ago, but we saw him in April.
Yes.
Near the end of April there in Nashville. We're going back next year. They've already planned.
That was quite a complex. I was so...
Isn't it beautiful there? Oh, the Nash everything. County Extension Service, they have an arboretum and all those... They were having a plant sale that day, and they have a lot of... They really have a big group of master gardeners.
And I remember a nice man came by that for years has brought his class by the office.
Yeah.
He's a school teacher.
Uh-huh.
And... one of the folks had grown up and came by and said hello to us, which was quite a pleasure to think that. And the guy said, well, you impressed me that day. Didn't talk down to us, but talk with us. And
right.
That was a pleasure.
Yeah. There was some kid that got a scholarship.
Yes.
Big-time scholarship.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
It was a Moorhead scholarship.
Moorhead, yes.
Kane Moorhead, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure,
he was one of the little kids that came into my office years ago.
Hmm. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Monica, I don't.
Oh my God!
What else did you? We haven't talked about the restaurants. I've been thinking about biscuits all morning, and ham because I did a remote for another station, a station with Dave Bradshard Station in Roxborough. They have a gardening show last weekend before last. And it was kind of in a country store, T.G. Brooks, up in Timberlake, and I bought a country ham and had them cut it up, took that home, had some Sunday morning. And so I've been thinking about biscuits and ham, country ham, all week.
Yes, well, you can definitely get you a ham biscuit or a sausage biscuit over at the State Farmers Market restaurant. They do a wonderful job. If you've never had one of their biscuits, you're missing out. They have made from scratch and absolutely delicious, and they have daily lunch specials, and they also do breakfast all day, open till 3 p.m. daily. And great place to stop, and, you know, some folks may be tuning in this morning as they're traveling or maybe headed to the beach for the weekend or the week, and the State Farmers Market is just off of I-40, exit 297, which is Lake Wheeler Road, so we're very conveniently located to I-40 as folks are traveling to and from the beach or the mountains or wherever they may be headed, and so make this one of your pit stops. It's a good place to get out and stretch your legs and maybe stop by and use the restrooms, and that's just a good place, I think, to do that stop at, and you can enjoy a meal while you're here.
All right.
Now, you missed out on the best meal, though, you can get.
If seafood.
Definitely.
Yeah, if you want to take something home with you. And I've heard you can get a good hot dog out there, too.
By golly, you can. Gourmet.
Our seafood restaurant is well known for their seafood, and they have very generous portions. So come hungry or maybe be prepared to share or take home a doggy bag for later. And just a lot of delicious Calabash-style seafood. And the Market Grill over there features those delicious Rufus dogs. So they have that as well as so many other breakfast sandwiches. And they have... They're even doing hibachi some now, and that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, stir fry. That's good.
Yes, they're doing a good job with that. And 321 Coffee's just away from there, just across the way, and they have so many wonderful things all throughout the market shops that you can stop by and enjoy while you're traveling to and fro and being able to walk around and just enjoy a snack while you're stopping through.
Not bad. Well, Miss Monica, I hope you have a wonderful day, and everybody's nice to you, because everybody should be nice to you.
That's right, Monica.
And if they're not, you let me know.
Well, I appreciate that thought. I do appreciate that, and I try to be nice to everyone. You know,
I know you do.
It reciprocates back. Sometimes that's not the case.
And nobody would be mean to you if they were eye to eye with Stephen. He's a big boy. He is a big boy, and he doesn't have to say anything. So y'all be nice to Monica. That's the way it is every day.
There you go. That's right.
Well, yes, ma'am.
A lot of good folks out here.
I know. There are wonderful people out there.
Yes, and a lot of great customers that come through, and listeners that listen to this show. All the time, and we appreciate everyone who listens and then comes out and supports the market and any of our markets across the state. If you're not right here in the area, be sure to look up your local farmers market and go out and support any of your local farmers, roadside stands, or farmers markets. They're all doing a great job.
Yes, ma'am. That's true. Have a nice day, Monica. We'll talk to you soon.
You too. Come see us. We're here 7 days a week.
Yes, ma'am. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Miss Monica, Andrea, what's the temperature up there now? Do you have a thermometer nearby?
I don't, but the sun has come out. I had the windows open, and I'm thinking about closing.
Oh, my gosh.
I can feel the heat.
Oh, you can feel the heat. Okay. Well,
yeah.
It's nice to have the windows open.
It's definitely cool. Wow.
All right. Carter Q, the... librarian, our literary expert, is with us. Carter, good morning, my friend.
Nelsa, Andrea, Mike, and of course, Captain of Crepe Myrtles, the Prince of Quince.
The Prince of Quince. Woo-wee!
The Grand Hall, of course, the Bard of the Yard.
The Bard of the Yard. Carter Q is the man who came up with that.
Well, I like the Prince of Quince.
The Prince of Quince.
Yeah.
You do like quince, don't you?
I love quince.
Yeah.
One of the first things to bloom, and everybody ought to have one.
Yeah.
Or two, or three. I would have a deep red one, Carter.
Yeah.
A salmon-colored one and a white one. Are the other colors?
Not a salmon. Not a salmon-colored one.
No.
I was, you know, it really has been very, very hot. And I will admit that, I mean, really the only thing that I have that's, I have a pollinator, relatively large pollinator bed that, you know, it has coneflower and Shasta daisy and dianthus and petunia salvia, et cetera. And it's doing pretty well even without the, without too much rain. And I took Rufus's advice and I moved two rows of Charons, and I didn't think they'd make it because I transplanted them literally 2 weeks ago, and they're doing quite well. They're starting to bud, et cetera. But my question is, and I wonder that with the increasing heat, I wonder if since we are in, 8A now, I think, will we start looking to plant materials from Texas or California?
Well, you know, we've already discussed over the years, and we were talking about it coming in this morning, the xeriscaping and drought from like 07, 08 in there, and everybody had a rain barrel. Everybody was selling rain barrels. Rufus was selling them out on Lake Wheeler Road there in his roadside stand.
Well, I mean, I think the way to answer that question is if you're buying from a local source, garden center, farmer's market, they are growing plants that are going to be adaptive and do well for this area. And yes, that includes some plants that have come from a more, say, subtropical area that you commonly would see in Texas, Florida, California. But that's my advice. I mean, we have definitely been able to push the envelope. We have probably the most, one of the widest, most diverse selections of plants, period, throughout our climate, our zone. So that's a good thing. Again, I just can't express, buying local, because our growers have tried and true, or true and tried, what's going to do well here, and that's going to be your best bet for success versus just, buying it straight off the truck from, whatever, a box store out of Texas. That's not to say that you can't get some great deals or pick up a plant or two, but if you're really doing a extensive investment, redoing a landscape, then I would tend to stick to your more local.
Are we going to have – but I think what he was saying was, are we going to have to start planting some of the things that they do, adapting some of the things that they have in Texas and Arizona? And, of course, we already do that to a certain extent in xeriscaping.
Attention to the hardiness zone of the plant.
Yeah,
that's right. Have in mind.
I don't know what Texas hardiness zones. They probably have a bunch of them.
But look at them. Look at what you want to plant. And if you don't know the hardiness zone of the plant, then you can consult the NC Extension Gardener Plant Toolbox.
That's right. Plant Toolbox. And
it will
go to places, just like Nelson said, go to places like the Garden Hut and Logan's and Campbell Road, where they grow a lot of stuff and they know the stuff.
Yeah.
That's the safest thing to do.
Yeah, and I think, too, again, visiting our botanic gardens and arboretums and things of that nature are helpful because, it's one thing, Andrea, looking at the plant hardiness. I mean, we hope that's best case scenario accurate. But it's just like if you look at, flower colors, pink in my eyes is different pink than maybe in Rufus's eyes. So, labels are sometimes...
I've noticed that.
Labels are sometimes maybe not specifically for our region, our area. It's a plant that says gets whatever, 2 to 3 feet. It's and make it 5 to 6 feet. So I think just,
right,
you know.
But it does mean, as getting back to the person, it does mean that, yes, your garden can tolerate plants that can tolerate more heat than it used to be able to tolerate.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. I mean, even different lantanas, different types of tropical bulbs, mm-hmm. You know, bananas.
And maybe it's not a huge difference. You can stretch it a little. I mean, I personally don't like to grow plants that are on the hardiness border for my area, because I worry about all my plants and I don't get overly concerned when we have a cold snap.
Well, see, I'm in the opposite. I like pushing the envelope and putting a blanket and insulator on them.
Well, you know, that's what they do with the Arboretum. They test, it's a laboratory over there. They test things for the nursery industry, too. Whereas the Botanic Gardens, that's all native.
Right.
They're all native plants there. So it's a great idea to visit those places
a lot.
Carter brought something up here. He mentioned in the beginning some seemingly drought-resistant plants. I think it's time now, again, for Nelsa and Andrea to list again a number of what they think would be the most drought-resistant plants. And I know, Carter, you mentioned about four there that I've had good luck with. Lantana is one of them that I have. So does somebody, that's why I'm asked that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a little bit late to be giving that right now, but when they do some fall planting or spring planting, people want to know, okay, what are some drought-resistant plants? Nothing is totally drought-resistant, but what are some good help there?
Well, again, I think, you know, you could come up with a list that we say drought-tolerant. We need to define what drought-tolerant is. In my mind, most of the time that means once the plant is established, which gives you the ability to have a greater variety versus if you just say, hey, what's drought-tolerant? So, like, if you plant an agave, you're probably never going to water it, period, ever.
Yeah.
If you plant like a Opuntia, one of the smooth pad cactus, there's just no reason to ever water it. But, you know, we want more variety in flowers. So, as you said, like lantana. And, you know, I watch at our farm, and I've been kind of impressed with a couple calla lilies that my mom has. I mean, it is hot. I mean, we've got blueberries that are shriveling up. But here are these calla lilies. They don't get the southwest sun, but they're still gorgeous. They're beautiful. So those bulbs are holding enough moisture to, and again, they're established. They've been there 2 or 3 years. But there are lots of bulbs that perform well in drier conditions, you know, where we're either going to get a deluge or we're going to just go dry for 3 weeks or 4 weeks. So there's a ton of plants out there. So, you know, it would be hard to list all of them versus asking Carl, like, what specific area, what sizes, what shapes, what kind of color. I mean, you know, there's lots of succulents. So it would have to depend on the situation, the environment,
right,
and you know, the amount of sun, and again, what heights and what you want the plants to do before I would say, oh, let's just list, you know, 10 that you could try versus, you know, 100 that we know will work.
Well, you mentioned one that I think is very good, Gladiolus.
What'd you say, Andrea?
I said, again, I'm going to mention the plant toolbox, not because I'm a master gardener, but because I love it. I
mean,
the find a plant feature will help you do exactly what Nelsa just recommended.
Mm-hmm.
Put down, you know, there's up to 95, you know, characteristics of your garden that you can choose, you can filter, and it will come up with a list of plants that will work for you. It'll even say pollinator. You know, I want to attract the bees versus the butterflies. I mean, it gets that kind of nitty gritty.
Who compiled all of that stuff for the plant toolbox?
He's just constantly adding to it.
It started with a huge data dump from NC State's horticulture professors, from all of their data from various classes.
Good gracious.
And now it is master gardeners, 100 of us over 40 counties, who continue to curate and polish it.
Oh, so are you involved with this?
I am definitely involved with that, yes.
In what way? Now, what exactly are the master gardeners responsible for in that realm?
There's three teams on the plant toolbox. One is research, one is proofreading, and one is photography. So when I still lived in Durham and I had this, you know, beautiful garden with a lot of, I don't know, a lot of cool stuff growing in it, it was 2020 and everything was shut down, and we actually didn't have to do our master gardener hours. But I joined the toolbox team then, and I just took pictures of my plants in my garden all year. I mean, all through the season, so that I could contribute those pictures to the plant toolbox. So you'll see my name on a lot of photos in the plant toolbox. Then the following year, I had moved up to the mountains, and I had no garden. I had nothing to photograph. So I switched then to the proofreading, the plant description. So each plant begins, each plant profile begins with a narrative description about four paragraphs, highlighting the cultural, you know, the growing conditions and the landscape uses of that plant. And so that's what I do to this day. I co-chair a team of several master gardeners from across the state, and we polish those descriptions.
How about that? Well, it is so valuable and so accessible. And the Master Gardener's textbook, which is available on Amazon, I mean, you can buy it. It's a really thick textbook, but it is has such great information in it. Lucy and all the folks at with the Master Gardener program did that.
Right.
And
right.
Were the Master Gardeners involved with that at all?
I was not, but yes, Master Gardener.
How about that? Yeah, that is quite
as
a...
As well as, in that case, it was a lot of extension agents writing that content.
Right. And there's a second edition now to make sure you get, if you buy one, get the second edition.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you another, Nelson mentioned in the beginning, is to visit your local arboretum to find out what lives best and what doesn't. I take frequent trips to J.C. Ralston Arboretum. I'm sure that our friend Carter goes to Duke Arboretum. Arboretum.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that
Duke Gardens.
Oh yeah, Duke Gardens, and also on the other end there at your alma mater, Rufus, the North Carolina Botanical Garden.
Oh, absolutely.
A wonderful place.
Yes. You know, your area is just so blessed to have three public gardens with very distinctive collections. So, you know, staycation, visit the local public gardens and learn a lot.
Absolutely.
We're going to have, Carter, you'll be interested in this. We're going to have, and Rufus too, a botanist on next week for a while. I don't know how long he's going to be on, but Scott Zona is a friend of someone who works with Rufus. And I got in touch with him, and he's going to be on the show.
He's the project manager for the plant toolbox.
Yeah. He's going to be on.
He's my boss.
A Gardener's Guide to Botany.
Cool.
And it's kind of more in layman's terms. He explains all kinds of stuff that we will be able to understand. And he's going to be on with us for a while.
All right. Scott Zona?
Yeah. Z-O-N-A.
You heard what Andrea said, that he's her boss.
Yeah.
On that project.
I did not realize that. Gosh, if I'd known that, I would have had you on next week and instead so you could talk to him.
Yeah, well, I'll try to listen in.
Yeah. Please do that.
He's the second project manager since the project started. The project started in 2019, and Kathleen Moore, who a lot of folks know because she was at Extension for a long time, was the project manager of both the handbook and then the toolbox. But he took over, and I have to say that, you know, he brings a different set of skills and strengths to the team. But, I love having a botanist nearby to ask questions to. You know, he can really, answer lots of questions.
Absolutely.
Well, Carter, I haven't been to the Duke Gardens lately. What's the newest thing they've done over there? They always have a project going. Is any good Arboretum does.
Well, I think the last that I actually heard, I think that they are actually planning for a several renovation of I think for some of the physical structures, and I think even for parts of the garden. I think that's the last that I heard that they are planning for. There's a renovation that will be taking place. I'm not sure how extensive or which of the garden rooms they will have these renovations taking place, but I understand there will be some renovations taking place very shortly.
Mm-hmm. How about that? Well, Carter, we're almost out of time for this hour. I love it when you call, and I look forward to seeing you.
Yes, sir. And thanks very much for all that you do with the Weekend Gardener.
And thanks. My grandsons just adore going to the libraries. They go to the library in Pittsburgh and in Raleigh, and it's such a big deal for them. It's something that my wife has made sure that they go to the libraries. And gosh, it's so much to offer for all of us, but especially for children.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the teen and children's versions of That's Rufus.
Hey, that's an idea, Rufus. You could write one for children, a children's edition.
Well, I've been accused of acting like a child.
I've been accused of pouting. So, yeah. Hey, Carter, thanks, buddy.
All right.
Take care, Carter.
Bye. Have a great day. All right. Well, we're out of time for this hour, so we got one more hour. That's all you're going to have to endure.
Can you make it?
I can make it. Yeah, man, I'm ready to go. I've had sleep. This is the first day of the week I get sleep. All right. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF.